May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Well, we certainly know something's happened lately. We've all turned purple. It's an opportunity to wish you Happy New Year, Happy New Church Year, as this is the first Sunday of Advent. And we've already got a jump on 2009. Our readings today talk and call attention to the very end of time. And it's a remarkable reading to be chosen as we spend the next 4 weeks anticipating the birth of the Christ child. Why is it that our lectionary editors have started us off with the very end of history when in fact we are anticipating instead the birth of Jesus? Of course, any of you know that to aim a rifle, you need 2 points on your barrel. Otherwise, you can't hit anything. And so let's think of this readings today as giving us some perspective and some focus on what the birth of the Christ child can mean. And Mark's gospel today is remarkable. It's been cut a little bit in half, but it is the little apocalypse. It's the nickname for the end of the 13th chapter of Mark. The big apocalypse is the one in the Gospel of John. This is the little apocalypse in which Mark's vision of the end of the world, where everything that's nailed down, not nailed down, is coming loose, where the wheels are coming off the cosmos itself. And in his writings, he talks about earthquakes and wars and famines and rumors of war and persecutions and sufferings and betrayals. And indeed, the sun, the moon, and the stars are melting and falling down on the ground. Remarkable references to the Old Testament, of Joel, of Isaiah, and of Daniel. These are all glimpses of the readings, and one of which we even had today. So that in Isaiah, we start off by saying that the heavens are torn open and they come down, and the mountains quake at the presence of the Lord at the last day. The Greeks are very helpful to us in understanding time. If you look at your watch or your calendar, you are looking at what we would call chronological time. This is a chronographer. Chronograph. Thank you. Okay. But the Greeks teach us that there's also another word for time that they use. It's called kairos. And kairos is that moment in time which is a tremendous break point, a tipping point. It could be for you Pearl Harbor. It could be 9/11. It could be the day your first child was born. It could be your wedding day. It could be any moment in time in which time stood still, in which there was no time. It was a time of tremendous importance. And the birth of Jesus is to be seen in that way. And always in the gospel writings, this last few weeks, the last time I stood in this pulpit, we had almost the same message. Therefore, keep awake, writes Mark, for you don't know when the master of the house will come in the evening or midnight or cockcrow or dawn, or he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. I'm grateful to the artists of our time who've helped us understand how we live our lives with understanding of a chirological moment. Boy, are those big words. I apologize. I mentioned in The Bell Ringer, this wonderful movie that's still a favorite of mine, from Alec Guinness. It's a movie from the 40s. I call it Last Vacation. And in that movie, a mild-mannered, milk-toasty sort of guy, a used car salesman, if you will, named Bird. What a wimpy name. And Bird, mistakenly, is diagnosed with a terminal disease. We don't know what it is, but he's only given a couple months to live. So Bird goes and sells everything he has, buys a sporty little car, gets one of those cool little British hats, you know, that you wear. It looks so... Anyway, the British look good at him, Peter. I'm not sure I look that good at him. But anyway, and off he goes to France and lives it up, has a great time. Suddenly, he's open to all things that come his way. His personality is totally changed. He's a lovable person and a remarkable personality change as a result of this sentence of death, if you will. Last year, we had Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman contesting with each other on the screen in the movie The Bucket List. Do any of you remember the movie, The Bucket List? Do you know what the bucket list was? The bucket list was Morgan Freeman's attempt to write down all the things he'd like to do before he dies because he has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And of course, he and Jack Nicholson then begin what's a caper film. And they drive race cars and they climb Mount Everest and they talk to each other about life and they think deep thoughts about their family relationships, and as a result begin to try to do something about them. And of course we have good old Charles Dickens and Scrooge. Scrooge has this terrible vision of death. When he wakes up on Christmas morning, he discovers that he's alive. And not only is he alive, but he's a brand new person. And in each of these stories, you know, we are being told that the change comes when this kind of chirological moment takes place, where suddenly we see life totally different because we're soon to be robbed of that life. I think that was certainly in the mind of the gospel writer today. He wants to get us to focus in a new way. We are indebted to Dr. Johnson in England in the 18th century, who says when a man knows he's going to be hanged in 2 weeks, nothing's better than to focus the mind. I think this is the message that comes to us so clearly from the gospel, that the coming of Jesus is that moment. The coming of Jesus is that moment which can challenge us to fulfill the potential that we have as loving and giving and generous people. In each of these stories I mentioned, the characters all had it in them, but for some reason we're poking through life and not exploiting their ability to reach out and to look beyond themselves. There is an old expression floating around that God is far more concerned about the joy we bring to Him than the joy we try to accumulate for ourselves. The Bible makes it very clear that the more we try to hold on to our own little private life, the more we are removed from the holy life. And the New Testament is full of sentences and teachings that lead us in that direction. So we head into Advent. And the challenge is to use Advent as an opportunity to reflect and to think deeply and to find ways in which our generosity continues to find new expressions and new lives. Make yourself like Bird. And find, you know, but don't sell everything you possess. Don't sell, you know, don't cash in all your chips, because Jesus makes it very clear you don't need to. They are already been cashed in. Your job is to pick up the chips, and so is my job as well. And it is to live our lives always looking to ways in which we will bring joy to others and will be shocked out of our own comfort zone. Pretend like we're living under the sentence of death in order that we find a rich and meaningful life. Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.